morning, everyone. We're going to continue on this morning in the book of Acts, Acts 16. We're going to read Acts 16, verses 16 to 39. And I have to confess, it's a passage that I've been familiar with, we're all familiar with, I guess, from childhood. But I was greatly challenged by it. So let's just turn our Bibles, Acts 16. And we'll read from verse 16. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews. They are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Immediately, he brought all his Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was the daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. I wonder, have you ever played Monopoly? I know I have, but it's been a while. It was kind of hard when you were an only child to play Monopoly, but there was occasions when I did. I wonder, do you remember the get out of jail free card? It was a great feeling when that time came and you got that card and you played it, and there was no need to spend the night in the jail. Usually rubbing it into your opponents, or your cousins, or your brothers and sisters. No need to go to jail. Just play the card, and then you could go and buy more houses in Euston Road or Marylebone or whatever it was on the board. You'd have to be silly. You'd have to be foolish not to play your get-out-of-jail-free card. Why would you not? I know Monopoly is just a game, but sometimes in life we get little get-out-of-jail-free cards. Don't we? A gracious person forgives us. Our parents don't want the money back. We come close to some danger, but we escape it. And these little breaks in life for that time and that place cut us some slack just when we need it. It's nice to get this card, and it's wise to use it when we need to use it. And here, in Acts 16, we find Silas and Paul, and as a result of their obedience to Jesus, they find themselves in a bad situation, as bad as it probably can get. They're badly beaten. They're thrown in jail. And here's the thing. Paul and Silas actually had a get-out-of-jail-free card, or certainly a delay jail until we have a fair trial card. But they choose not to use it. They didn't have to go through with the beating, and they didn't have to go through with jail. They have this get-out-of-jail-free card, but they don't play it. And when they're brought before the magistrate in verse 20, I'm going to keep your Bible open, we'll just work through the passage. When they come before the magistrate in verse 20, they stay silent. The first question that you might be asking this morning, what was their card that they didn't play until it was revealed, until it was all over in verse 37? And it was this. They were Roman citizens. So, long story short, Roman citizens were protected under the law. They had the right. They had the right to a fair trial. I know if I had found myself in that position, surrounded by this angry mob, by the first sign of violence towards me, I would have been screaming it from the rooftops. I'm a Roman citizen. But they don't mention it. They stay silent when four words could have stopped it. I'm a Roman citizen. Scene is quite reminiscent, if you think about it, of Jesus standing silently before Pilate. They stay quiet. Why? Why do they do this? Why did they not exercise their rights? That's what I want us to look at today. What's really going on here in Acts 16? What are the implications for us as Christians in our lives? What are the challenges to us as Christians? What are the challenges to those here who are perhaps considering becoming Christians? Let's just look at the first thing that we have on the screen, a problem confronted. Verses 16 and 17, if your Bible's open, just have a look at them, because they set the scene. And here is an odd situation indeed. Now here we have a young girl. Bible tells us that she's possessed by some sort of demonic spirit. Today we would call her a fortune teller. And she's being used by Satan. She is working for the enemy, and she's making a profit for unscrupulous men who are just using her for their own gain. They have no care for her, but for what money she can bring them in. And yet, for some reason, she's following Paul and Silas around, and I found this odd every time I read it, and she's shouting after them. And what she is shouting is the truth. The Bible talks about Satan being the father of lies. She works for him. She's possessed by a demon, it tells us here. And yet, she's proclaiming the truth. Look at verse 17. This is what she said. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. There could be no arguing with that. So why would she do this? We can speculate, I guess. There could be a few reasons. A simple reason could be this. She made her money by telling the truth, by telling the future, certainly. Maybe she's just wanting to cash in on the buzz that comes when Paul and Silas are in town while they're on her patch. You remember Simon the Sorcerer, who we met in chapter 8? He was pretty similar. He wanted to cash in on what was going on. And her bosses wouldn't have cared as long as they made money. Another reason could be this. Sometimes Satan will use or try to use the truth to his advantage if there's advantage in it. And sure, just look at the outcome that happened. For a short time, it caused mayhem. And sometimes it appears that Satan is winning the short game, but as we read on down, we will see that God will indeed win the long game. We can speculate on the reasons why she told the truth. But we can consider this, that there was no advantage to be had in this unholy alliance between Paul and Silas and this fortune teller. Paul could have went with the flow. He could have kind of ignored it. We're told that there's no such thing as bad publicity. What harm could it do? Paul could have taken advantage of the free advertising of this girl who's going around shouting what it is that they're doing, even if it is from the other side, as it were. She was telling the truth. She was telling people that Silas and Paul were proclaiming the way to be saved. Paul could have just kept the status quo, not caused any trouble. Nobody's being offended, not least her bosses. But no good could come from it. No good could come from this partnership of Paul and Silas chose to ignore it. Paul knows it. Paul comes to the point where he has to deal with it, and he has to hit it head on. Well, look at verse 18. It says, Paul eventually, after many days, so he tolerated it for some time, after many days, Paul casts the demon out of her. Got to the point in verse 18 that tells us that Paul reacts because he was so troubled, because it was just such an issue to him that he had to do something about it. And he gets to this point where he has to deal with it no matter what the consequences would be. Dealing with it was certainly going to rock the boat. We see that it would cause trouble, but eventually he dealt with it. Christian, we can't form and we can't live in unholy alliances or friendships or relationships, unsuitable relationships such as this. There may be advantage for some time, but ultimately, if we persist and we don't deal with it, then it will bring spiritual ruin for us. Ezekiel 44:23 says this: Teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. Discern between the unclean and the clean. Who we get involved with, what we get involved with. Sometimes people ask me about fortune tellers and mediums and spiritualists, just like this girl that we read about. And I've seen their advertisements on the road, on Facebook, offering their services. But what does the Bible say to God's people? He says, stay away, stay clear, don't get involved, don't touch under any circumstances. And people say to me, but if you only knew the truth, it was so close to my life, this person knew what was going on. This girl today, she told the truth. But Paul had to detach himself from this situation. What about our relationships, just our ordinary everyday relationships? What influence does that relationship with an unbeliever have on your life? Sure, today there may be some advantage in it. There may be friendship, there may be companionship, there may be financial benefit. But is it a healthy relationship for your spiritual life? Are you discerning in these relationships and these friendships that you have? Maybe it needs to be wound back. Maybe you need to detach yourself completely from it. Should this church take lottery money? People often say that to me. Sure, wouldn't it be great? We'd get a bigger hall, we'd get more equipment, we'd get more outings. Short term. But what about the long term? Be assured of this. Take it, take the money, and there'd come a time when this church will be called upon to compromise its beliefs. And the government will be telling us what we should believe. Paul chose to sever the association from this girl, regardless of the consequences. Took a severe beating and they went to jail. It would have been easier to just ignore it, say nothing, and move on with what they were doing. It would have been easier for Paul and Silas to go with the flow, take the free advertising. But they broke it off. Believer, is there something in your life that you need to deal with today? Is there something coming down the road that you know you're going to have to deal with? Dealing with it is going to cause you or it's going to cause someone else pain. You know it's going to cause an offence, and maybe it's going to bring you, for a time, some discomfort. Paul and Silas tolerated it for a time, many days according to verse 18, until the point it troubled them and it upset them. Maybe you're troubled today because you're not dealing with something that needs dealt with, something that needs removed, some change that needs to happen in your life. In the short term, there may be pain. We want to know the future. I want to know mine. I'd love to know what happens for me down the road, but I have to trust and know that my future and our future of every believer is in his hands. I would love financial security, but I have to trust that my future is also provided for by the Lord. We may want companionship and we may want friendship, but the only friendship that will bring us real joy is with that of Jesus Christ. Our future is in God's hands, and we can leave it there. And we can wrestle and we can tolerate these inappropriate relationships in our own lives for many days, like Paul, like Silas. But if we want peace of mind, then eventually we will have to deal with whatever that is. Second thing I want to look at is a right forfeited, a right give up. Verses 18 to 24. Let's focus on those verses and that get out of jail free card for a minute. These six verses record how Paul and Silas cast out a demon. They do a good thing. They do a good thing for the slave girl, and they free her in every sense of the word. Consider the consequences, though. Verse 19. Paul and Silas are seized by the girl's masters because they've lost their livelihood and they're not one bit happy about it. Verse 20, the city goes into uproar. By doing the right thing, Silas and Paul really throw the cat in among the pigeons. Look at verses 20 and 21, and this is interesting. The opponents, they sneakily try to use the Roman authority to whip up hatred against Silas and Paul. What is it they say? These Jews. See the accusation in their voice? And they're using anti-Semitism, they're using some sort of sectarianism to whip up hatred against Silas and Paul, but it's only half the truth. These Jews. I think it's interesting that in this passage that it's the truth and half-truth that Satan uses to try to get his own way here. Silas and Paul were Jews. That's the truth. But they were also Roman citizens. Nobody mentions it. Paul and Silas choose not to reveal it, not to stop the beating. So let's ask that question again. Why? Why did they not speak up, demand a trial, as was their right as Roman citizens? Easy and quick answer is that Paul and Silas sacrificed their rights to do God's will. They sacrificed their rights to do God's will. They had rights, but God's kingdom, following Jesus, was more important to them than their rights. And they choose at this point in time to forgo those rights to see where God is going to lead them next. And here we find them in Acts 16, silent, no defense, a defense that would get them out of their current trouble. Why would they do that? Perhaps a better question to ask would be this: why did Jesus do it? Satan tempted Jesus at one point, and he wanted him to show his hand. He wanted him to play his card, Matthew 4, 5 and 6. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up in their hands so that he will not strike your foot against a stone. Or maybe ask ourselves these questions. Why did Jesus stand before Pilate and not claim his divinity? Why not use his power, his right, to get out of going to Calvary, to going to the cross? Why did Jesus forgo his rights as the Son of God to allow himself to be crucified? Jesus has already told us in Luke 22:42 at this point, yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. Jesus understood his mission. Jesus understood that he was indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus understood his mission. And for us to be saved, for me to be saved, for his bride, the church, for us to be bought back, to be reconciled to God, that Jesus understood that he would have to die. He understood that this was God's will, so Jesus gave up any rights that he had so that he could do the Father's will. And that's what we find Paul and Silas doing right here, what they had done since the moment they were first saved. They give up their rights to do God's will. So what about us? Are we prepared to give up our rights? Am I prepared to give up my rights to do God's will? And rights, by the name, as it suggests, mean that we are entitled to them. But are we prepared to surrender these rights for Jesus? I have mentioned before the missionary Jim Elliot. In 1956, Jim Elliot was running for his life. He was running through the Ecuadorian jungle. He was being chased by a tribe of angry Indians, got that one wrong, Oka Indians, and they were carrying spears. They were wanting to kill him. Jim had a gun on him. He had the right to stop. He had the right to turn around and just to end it. Kill the Indians, get on the plane, and go home. Nobody would have said anything about it. Self-defense of an American life in very difficult circumstances. But he didn't. Jim Elliot bravely chose not to use the gun. And he died. He died that day. Jim Elliot understood that this was where God wanted him to be. Jim Elliot understood his mission. Christians, we know our rights. We come from a culture that knows its rights, don't we? But do we understand our mission? Are you, am I, prepared to give up those rights to complete the mission, to do what God wants us to do? Let's just look at this last thing. A family is saved. Verses 25 to 39. What happens when we say yes to Jesus? What happens if we give up these rights? What happens when we say, Lord, I will do your will? What then? For Paul and Silas, it led them straight to jail. From the outside, it looked like Satan was winning here. Paul and Silas were silenced, certainly for a time. They were unable to make any more trouble. That's what people thought for a time. And they're taken to the jail, but they're taken directly into God's will. and they were taken to a divine appointment. Have you ever heard that phrase, a divine appointment? In other words, something God has prepared beforehand and brings you to that place, to that person, to speak to them. And that's where they find themselves here in verse 28, and they meet the person that we now know as the Philippian jailer. They find him terrified by the events that are going on. Tells us here that he's about to kill himself. He's about to fall on his sword. And that's what Roman soldiers were taught to do if they failed in their mission. And this guy thinks he's failed in his mission because the prisoners are about to escape. He's about to fall on his sword and kill himself. But Paul cries out, "Don't harm yourself. Don't do it." Jailer, have a look at verse 31. The jailer asks the most important question that a human being can ask. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And the reply was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Verse 32, Paul and Silas present the gospel to the whole household, to the whole family. In verse 33, the whole family accept Jesus. And what a joy for this man and his family. The whole family accept Jesus as their Savior, and not only that, the whole family are baptized immediately, according to verse 33. Amazing story. Amazing story of joy for the Philippian jailer. I'm almost finished now, but there's just something that I'd like to consider in these last verses, just before Pamela comes back up again. Verses 35 to 39, we see in verse 37 that Paul eventually reveals or plays his card. He lets these guys who beat him, who put him in jail, know. He lets them know, "Boy, have you made a big mistake." And Paul now demands his rights as a Roman citizen. He's not going to let them off the hook easily here. He's confident. He's indignant. Verse 37, see what he says? He says, "Now, it's now, after all that they put us through, do they want us to get rid of us quietly? Let their leaders come and we'll tell them and they can escort us out themselves." He wants them to confront their mistake. It got me thinking. There will come a time when all of those persecuted Christians, because of their faith in Jesus, must confront. People who put them through it must confront eternity and realize that they too have made a big mistake. For every sneer, for every laugh at God's people, for every beating, like the one Silas and Paul experience here, every imprisonment, like the one Paul and Silas had to endure here, for every person like Pontius Pilate who hands Jesus over to be crucified, for every Judas who denies him, there will come a time. There will come an end. And judgment will come and people will realize that they have made a big mistake. Not just in the dealings with God's people, but more importantly with Jesus himself. And Jesus warned the disciples in Matthew 24 that these hard times were coming. He knew it. He said this, "Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." And in that end, Jesus will be glorified. The question for the believer here today? Are we ready for that ending? Are we living our lives in the way that we should be? And the question for the unbeliever too is, are you ready? Have you accepted Jesus like this, like the Philippian jailer and his family? Are you ready for what will come? I'm finished now, but I'm happy to discuss anything that we've talked about today, anything that we've looked at today. I would love to speak to you about it. If you've got any questions, please don't leave without asking me. I would love to speak to you. Thank you.